know, we didn't just come just because it's Sunday and it's a service. It was an hour that was prepared. Yes, it wasn't an hour prepared by me or by my wife or our team. It was this day was ordained by God. And you have healed that invitation. Morning, I want to continue with our series that we began some weeks ago. It's entitled Church, Let's Start a Revival. This is part three. Let's start a revival. And I pray and I trust that this is becoming the stirring of our hearts. This is becoming the longing that is in us that is greater than just let's talk about it. We've been looking at 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I put out a challenge last week. Would you take some time to read it over and over again until it becomes locked in your memory? And I believe that you have been doing that, and if you continue to do that, we can see that this scripture will be a guide to us, and will be something that will lead us on the path to revival. Now, we've spoken about it. We know revival is but the beginning. We want more than revival, but we have to begin somewhere. Our desire is reformation, a total change of the way that things are and the way that things are done. But in the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you have your Bible or if you have memorized it by now, just go over it together. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now, I know that there's some different versions of that, but they all boil down to the same thing. Two conditions in this verse, we will look at that at different times. We already began by looking at the first. If my people, and then God. If and then. And we're still dealing with the if part of the scripture. Revival depends on our choice, our desire, our heart for it. And I believe that we have expressed our heart and said, God, give us revival. Because we know that we need it. And sometimes that belief comes simply because we look outside of ourselves and we see that the world is in trouble. But first of all, I believe that God wants to speak to us to revive us. We might be living in a state of revival, of being awake to the Lord. But we know, I believe that every one of us has in our hearts said, I have not arrived, I have a need of a greater stirring and a revival in me. We have to want it. Because that is how that if plays in God. We have to want it. Revival depends on us. To a large degree. Revival is the supernatural move of God within a people who want more of God, more than anything else in life. Not just that the world has to offer, but that's it. Sometimes more than what we already have in our lives, we need to want a move of God more than that. People who know who they are. Do you know who you are today? I think last time we had a hearty yes. Yes, I am. I am one of God's people. And we declared it and we said it, and there was no hesitation in, we are God's people. I am God's child. We know who we are, and we know who has called us to be His. Amen? We know who called us. Do you know who is calling?
Yes.
Yes? You know whose child you are, and you know then who has called you to be that. That is God. You are called, you are named by His name. You're not just John, you're not just Jerry, you're not just Zachary or Christopher or Amelia, you are not just the name that your parents gave you, but you are called by another name.
Amen.
You are named by the name of God. Think over that for a while. Named by His name. That means you had His nature, that you had His character by the Holy Spirit, that the power in you, you had His nature in you. And that means that God has put in us, in each one of us, great potential. Now we say that on revival, we want to break Him loose of the God's potential that has been put in us and deposited in us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We want to see that come out. You see, this happens because we want it. Because we want it and we need a good choice to do it. See, we are marked for purpose. Marked for purpose. And you have answered yes to the call. You have answered yes to the call. You might say, I don't remember. I said yes. And you said yes to Jesus. You said yes to revival. You said yes to a powerful outpouring of God's Spirit on your life. And that will transform every area of your being. You said yes when you said, Jesus, be my Lord. Sometimes you don't remember saying Jesus when you say it. That's a powerful thing that happens. So Jesus didn't come because the church was out. Jesus didn't come just to be your Savior. In fact, Jesus is spoken of Savior very few times in Scripture. But he's spoken of Lord almost all the time. So it is important for us to know who he is. When we said yes to the Lord Jesus, we said yes to what we're talking about today. And now we can get down to it because we said yes. Because we can put our work to faith. And our faith to work. We're going to learn to pray like never before. See, prayer you don't learn by reading a book. I've read books on prayer. I've listened to lectures, sermons on prayer. I haven't preached some of them. But yet I don't know everything about prayer. The one thing I do know is you learn to pray, to pray. You cannot learn to drive a car simply by reading a book. If that was the case, I'd want to stay off the road. So we're going to learn to pray like never before, because we're about to enter a place hearing a place where God answers prayer. And life will flood around the soul. I believe that is where we walk in the life. But there's three steps that we need to go. And God has taken the first step. He has declared us his church. He has called us by his name. Isn't that amazing? God has taken the first step. He has called us by his name. And so what we need to do is we need to align ourselves in agreement with God. That's faith. We come in agreement with God. We set ourselves apart. We have been called by the name of God. Let's live like those who are called by the name of God. Let's come together and say, He has called me by this name. So I'm going to live like one who is called by the name of God. Ourselves apart. And we willingly reject anything that blocks our way to God. See, legalism comes and says, you can't do this. You can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do this. Don't do that, don't touch this, don't go away. Don't. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But this is not that. This is where I say, I will not do that. Or this or that, or go there, or participate in this thing. Because I do not want to block my path to God. This pulpit will not put restrictions on what you can do. Because God does not all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. You decide what is profitable for your path to God, for your moving towards what God wants you and what is not. You may permit things in your life that God has never. But you will find destruction at the end of it. For the same for a great opportunity. Where we will discover the secrets of the hero of the faith. Know those heroes of faith, if you've been coming to our prayer times on Thursday, we've been going through and praying through the book of Hebrews, not the easiest thing to do. But God has really spoken, at least in my heart. And I believe to those who have come, God is pressing, helping us to pray differently, to see things differently. And what we see, coming up in Hebrews chapter 11, we see what the secrets are to the hearers of faith. What, not just what they do, but what is the result. What happens? We're going to learn these secrets even during this life. By faith, these people, Hebrews 11, 33 to 35, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. This fire. I'd like to ignore, perhaps you would, but others report it, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They place their hope in a better life after resurrection. Hebrews 11, 35. That's the resolve that we have. So that is the resolve that lives in those who are called by his name. They shook their generation, they established justice, and they stood where we now stand. Jesus said, some of these words will surprise you. Many are called, but few are chosen. That becomes important. God invites many. But few come through the door. This is not about celebration. Yes, God invites all and not all. of which we're talking about today, in terms of revival, God invites many, but not all come. Not all press in. Remember how we started this year? Right in the beginning, he spoke about press and prayer. All in to the things of God. That is the source of holding on. How's your attitude today? It's very tough. How's your attitude today? Now, usually we ask that when somebody has a bad attitude. But how's your attitude? What's your attitude? What? I'm going to ask the question that comes. How is your attitude today? To stand at the door of opportunity. And the right attitude is going to open the door. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?